Do you feel like you need God's encouragement and wisdom throughout the week to take hold of His promise to fly like an eagle? You come to the right place. Welcome to Eagles on the Hill. Let's join our host, Pastor Jeff Scheich.
Hey people, I am your host, Pastor Jeff Scheich. Thanks for joining us on this edition of the podcast. Today on the podcast, we're going to return to a topic that we've talked about before, but we have some new information, some new things going on here in the state of Nebraska that we want to bring to your attention, that we want to talk about, that we want to evaluate from a biblical Christian perspective, from the perspective that we have as citizens of God's kingdom, the church, and citizens of this world, in particular, citizens of the United States of America, and how we can carry out our dual citizenship there wisely and well. Since we're talking about today the topic of life in the womb and the topic of abortion, I always like to start out talking about those topics by reminding ourselves of the grace and mercy of God, reminding ourselves that I am sinful, that all you who are listening to me are sinful as well. And the scripture promises us when we confess our sins, God is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. And so to encourage us, whatever our past might be, to be able to take those sins to God, lay them at the foot of the cross, and receive His forgiveness. Sometimes it's a challenge to actually feel like we've experienced God's forgiveness. We feel the guilt of previous sins hanging over us, whether that's the sin of abortion or whatever other sin it might be. And so I want to encourage us to be making use of the gifts God's given to us in the church, particularly the gift of our pastor, whether you're here at Christ Lincoln or somewhere else, but the gift of our pastor, as our pastor can come alongside of us and help us actually live out and experience the forgiveness that God promises us in His Word. It's not like as if the pastor gives us extra forgiveness, but the pastor can help us, your pastor can help you, be able to experience the relief, the freedom of God's forgiveness. And so encourage you to be talking with your pastor about those things, whether it be abortion or something else. All right, so what is going on in the state of Nebraska that will cause us to be thinking about talking about this issue again of life in the womb and abortion and so forth? Well, what's happening is, and of course, this is all coming about because of the defeat of Roe v. Wade, the fact that Roe v. Wade has been abolished in our country. Various states are dealing with this issue of life in the womb and that sort of thing. And so there has been, over the past couple of months, a couple different ballot initiatives put forth for the November ballot here in Nebraska. These ballot initiatives are trying to do a couple of things. On the one hand, as we'll see in a moment, trying to make abortion legal in Nebraska for all 9 months of pregnancy for any reason whatsoever. Another initiative is trying to limit that and only allow abortion in the cases where it's currently allowed in Nebraska, to put a limit on that extreme abortion amendment. Well, there's been a third proposed amendment now that is out there, and we want to take a look at that and see how we deal with that as Christians and as citizens of the United States, citizens of the state of Nebraska. So the pro-life ballot initiative, that's essentially the third one now that's out there, not the third pro-life one, but the third ballot initiative regarding this issue, is called Choose Life Now. And I'll just quote it for you. It's very simple. The initiative is to add to the Nebraska Constitution these words, quote, "A preborn child at every stage of development is a person. Wherever under Nebraska law the term person is used or implied, it shall include such a child," unquote. Very simple. Who could argue with that, right? It seems very simple, very clear that essentially what it's saying is we have certain rights, certain privileges as people living outside the womb, whether young children, teenagers, adults, whatever it might be. We are called persons under the law. And what this amendment is saying is that a preborn child from the moment of conception is also a person under the law and has those same rights, including, of course, the right to life. So very simple. I want to evaluate this a little bit, kind of explain it a little bit in the words of those who, using the words of those who are proposing it. I also want to highlight for you that if you have not listened to our previous podcasts about this, on March 19th, episode 80 of Eagles on the Hill, we talked about and did a deep dive into the extreme pro-abortion proposal. And then on May 21st, episode 98, we did a deep dive into the second proposed ballot initiative, the one that at that point I called a pro-life initiative. And we'll talk about those just briefly here today to kind of summarize. But if you want to do a deep dive on those, that's where you'll find that out, March 19th and May 21st episodes of Eagles on the Hill. So with that said, let's take a look at the current initiative, number three, that's going to be out there, Choose Life Now. Let's take a look at what it says, what it means. Well, what it means is, well, first of all, you could check things out at a website called ChooseLifeNow.net. All one word, ChooseLifeNow.net. And on that website, you'll find the following. So I'm just going to summarize what those who are proposing this say about it. Quote, this is a faithful defense of human life for a ballot initiative grounded in the church, in every child, in our Savior, Jesus Christ. Okay, so I'm going to comment as we go through. First of all, as you can see from that quote there, this is a faithful defense of human life for a ballot initiative grounded in the church, in every child, in our Savior, Jesus Christ. You can see where this is coming from. It's coming from a strictly Christian perspective. And, well, I'm a Christian, so that's great. Love that Christians are getting involved in this area and every area of politics. We should be getting involved and bringing our beliefs to the fore. However, I'm going to indicate to you, just to preview, that I am hoping this Choose Life Now ballot initiative does not get on the ballot in November, which may surprise you. Particularly when you see how much I agree with and love this ballot initiative. I love it. And you're going to see that as I talk about it. But I'm hoping it does not get on the ballot in November. So stay tuned, and I'll share with you why that is. Some of the things that this ballot initiative does is it says that persons in the womb have the same rights as those outside the womb. We've already talked about that. It establishes protections for innocent human life in the Nebraska State Constitution. I would love it if we had protections for innocent human life in the Nebraska State Constitution. It seems to me we already have them in the federal Constitution, our nation's Constitution. Well, I should say, not in the Constitution, but in the Declaration of Independence, which forms the theological basis, the basis for the Constitution, but there in the Declaration of Independence, the right to life is enumerated. Nevertheless, this amendment would put protections for innocent human life in the Nebraska State Constitution. This amendment would have no exceptions for gestational age, every life protected from conception. It outlaws chemical abortions as well. So we're going to see that one of the other ballot initiatives has exceptions for gestational age. So what this amendment does is it says, from the moment of conception, every life is protected. I would love that if that were the case. I strongly agree with that. It outlaws chemical abortions as well. I strongly agree with that. I believe that they should be outlawed. All right. Next one, this might provide some interesting fodder for discussion. This Choose Life Now amendment provides no exceptions for rape or incest. No exceptions for rape or incest. And as their website says, it ends the death penalty for the innocent person in the womb. In other words, well, just what it says, no exceptions for rape or incest. So if a woman has been raped or if there's been incest and a pregnancy results, there would be no opportunity for abortion in Nebraska. That's always been a tough one. I agree with that, and I'll tell you why, a couple of reasons. Number one, as the website says, it ends the death penalty for the innocent person in the womb. Rape is a violent act against women. It is, I can't even find the words to describe how horrible it is. Abortion is a violent act against an innocent child in the womb. And so the argument goes, why should we punish the innocent child in the womb for the violent act of the rapist. Instead, we should increase penalties for the rapists. In addition to that, in order to prove rape or incest, there typically needs to be an immediate reporting of that rape or incest. And typically, drugs that would be given in the hospital as it's reported immediately would not allow conception to take place. That's my understanding. Now, I am not a doctor, so I could be wrong on that, but that's my understanding. It is very hard to start proving rape 6 weeks, 12 weeks, or more later. It becomes very difficult to prove that in order then to get the abortion. And so that becomes, this whole exception for rape and incest becomes a great challenge if you have to prove beyond a shadow of a doubt that the rape happened, that it was rape, in order to get the abortion. So the rape and incest exceptions are very, very difficult, very, very challenging. But anyway, just so you know, the Choose Life Now amendment would not allow exceptions for rape or incest. I think it is very, very, very hard to defend such a strong pro-life measure with the general public. Very, very hard. There are also no exceptions for the health of the mother. In other words, the reason for this is that the exceptions for the health of the mother, that phrase has been used for more than just physical health. It's been used for mental, emotional health, financial health, and on it goes. That becomes an exception that you can drive a semi-truck through, so to speak. So no exceptions for the health of the mother. And last bullet point, the life of the mother is carefully defined, it says, the website says. We avoid intentional abortion. So what they mean by that is that there's essentially, as the public will hear it, not only no exceptions for the health of the mother, but no exceptions for the life of the mother either. What do they mean by that? Well, what they mean by that is the same thing that C. Everett Koop meant by that back in the days of Ronald Reagan. He was Reagan's Surgeon General. And what C. Everett Koop said was this. He said, I've never purposely killed a child in the womb. He says, I have saved the life of a mother, and as an unintended consequence of that, the child in the womb has died. Do you see the difference there? There's a big difference. When a woman, for instance, has an ectopic pregnancy, and I've actually talked to a woman over the last month or so where this has been the case, she desperately wants to save the life of her child. However, as the doctor saves the mother's life, invariably, the child dies. That's just the way that works when you save the life of a mother during an ectopic pregnancy. The mother grieves terribly the loss of that child's life. To call that abortion, in my opinion, does great disservice to the mom. Because abortion, at least in the popular culture's mind, and I know this isn't a medical legal way of thinking of it, but in the popular culture's mind, abortion is an intentional killing of the child. That mother did not want to intentionally kill that child. That mother desperately wanted the child to live. And so that's what the Choose Life Now Amendment is saying, is that we never set out to intentionally kill a child. We set out to intentionally save the life of the mother. And sometimes, regrettably, horribly, when that happens, the child dies as a result of that treatment. And that kind of treatment would be legal under the Choose Life Now Amendment. So why do I think it should not be on the ballot? Well, I'm going to give you my reasoning for that in a little bit, but I want to just skip ahead. Time is flying here. Let me just briefly go over a minute or two at most on each of these other potential amendments. And again, if you want to do a deep dive into those, they're on previous podcasts. The pro-abortion ballot amendment is called Protect Our Rights. And what that amendment says, basically, and if you have this on the screen on YouTube, you can see it. Otherwise, again, go back to March 19th, episode 80 of Eagles on the Hill, find out more about it. But what that ballot initiative says, Protect Our Rights says, is that there will be abortion legal in Nebraska for all persons, including minors without parental consent, for all persons, notice it says persons, not women, tells you something about what's going on there in the worldview of the folks that are promoting this. But abortion is legal for any reason, at any time, for anyone throughout pregnancy. That is an extreme abortion measure. We do not want that to be in the Nebraska Constitution. That would be a terrible development, horrible development. We want to do everything we can in our power to avoid that becoming part of the Nebraska Constitution. And so a group of people got together and they made this ballot initiative called Protect Women and Children. And what this ballot initiative says, this is ballot initiative number 2, says, except when a woman seeks an abortion necessitated by a medical emergency, or when the pregnancy results from sexual assault or incest, unborn children shall be protected from abortion in the second and third trimesters. Again, check out further detail on this on May 21st, episode 98. Now, this is the initiative that we have been supporting, promoting here at Christ Lincoln. And the reason we were promoting it and are promoting it is because we believe that there needs to be an alternative for people to vote for here in Nebraska so that that extreme abortion ballot measure does not pass. And I believe it's 7 other states where this has been tried, that pro-abortion extreme measure has been tried. Even in pro-life states like Ohio, that extreme abortion measure has passed. Horrible. And so here in Nebraska, we wanted to try to forestall that with this Protect Women and Children Act, which basically keeps the protections for unborn children as they are now. Are these protections where I would want them to be? Ultimately, no. Do I believe that this Protect Women and Children initiative has a chance of passing and getting more votes than the extreme pro-abortion measure? Yes. And that is why I'm supporting it. I want to talk about and give there's some videos on the Choose Life Now website, and I want to share with you a portion of one of those videos, which will talk about whether or not we should support as Christians this Protect Women and Children Act, or whether we should be supporting the Choose Life Now Act. And there on the Choose Life Now website, they talk about that a little bit. Let's join in on that conversation.
Yeah, the bishops in Nebraska are, there's 3 bishops here in Nebraska who are united. Now, they didn't know about our third initiative, so it's important to understand that this happened in a chronological order. The first radical pro-abortion initiative came. It's not the bishops really. The bishops had influence. It's important to understand there was a coalition of partners who strategized and formulated this second initiative strategy to, you know, defend against the radical abortion initiative, and this was their collective solution to stop the radical abortion initiative, to stop the expansion of abortion through this first initiative means. And the bishops responded to that presentation with, okay, under these circumstances that are unique to this state, this is our option. Can we vote for this second initiative as a reasonable defense to stop the expansion of abortion through this first initiative? And the bishops gave their consent that it was permissible for a Catholic to vote for the second initiative, or to sign the petition, I should say, but to be under the conditions that they recognize that it's not an ideal situation. It's not a black and white situation. We can never support abortion, that we're a people who reject abortion and that respect and elevate the sanctity of human life. So it's not really, an issue that the bishops just had a black and white ruling. Their concern has always been that we need to end abortion in Nebraska. Then we came along after that and presented our initiative. So that's the chronological order of what really happened in Nebraska. So yeah, unfortunately, we're in a circumstance where, the bishops have given permission, as I said, and have kind of resolved to stay with the second strategy. And in fact, Bishop Hanefelt signed our initiative. He signed our petition, but they in wanting to advance their strategy for the second, they've forbidden the circulation of our third petition, the Choose Life Now initiative that'll end abortion. They've forbidden that petition to be circulated on their properties.
All right, so there you go. I think that gives a great summary of this. I want to share with you my reasonings. Very much is reflected in what you just heard, my reasonings for promoting this second amendment rather than the third Choose Life Now one, even though I would love, love, love to see the Choose Life Now amendment be part of our Constitution. But here's why I'm supporting the second rather than the third. Here you go. I'll give you a couple of things. Number one, we're not in this to make theological points. We're in it to win it, to save babies, and to protect mothers from the destruction of the choice of abortion. And I want to win it. I don't want to make a theological point necessarily. I just want to protect mothers and babies. The Choose Life Now initiative is church and Bible-based. From start to finish, it is very clear from the website and from what it's saying. It's not designed to appeal to the broad middle of the voters of Nebraska. And so I believe that the likelihood of 50% of Nebraska voters voting to outlaw all abortions is nil. I simply don't believe it will pass. I would love it, but I don't believe it would pass. And so therefore, I don't want it on the ballot competing with the second initiative. Our state is, made up of some godly Christians, but not made up of 50% of godly Christians who will think about this enough, with enough depth, that they desire to live a life with a biblical worldview. So I think that's the challenge, is that we're in this. It's a political arena. We're not in this to make theological points. I believe that the more initiatives are on the ballot, the more confusion is going to be among voters, and the more we'll vote to protect our rights, which is the bad petition. And thus, if the first pro-abortion initiative gets the most votes, then our state will do what seven other states have done. We will enshrine abortion in the Nebraska Constitution. That will be so, so hard to eliminate that if that happens. If all three wind up on the ballot, it's highly likely that a pro-life vote will be split, that confusion will reign, and that we will become another pro-life state, like Ohio, with full and complete access to abortion guaranteed in our Constitution. I desperately want to avoid that. And that's what the bishops of the Catholic churches are saying in Nebraska as well. Politics is the art of the possible. That's just the reality, that this is a political thing. It is the art of what's possible, not what's necessarily best. Where would we be in Nebraska if the pro-life senators in Nebraska had voted no on a ban to have abortion banned beyond 12 weeks because, well, the legislation wasn't biblical enough, we should be banning it beyond the moment of conception. If they had all voted no because the bill was not to ban abortion from the moment of conception, we wouldn't even have a 12-week ban currently passed by our legislature in Nebraska. We just have to do what's possible, not necessarily what we would want if we lived in utopia. I believe that right now is the time to play defense. And we need to defend against the Protect Our Rights initiative, that extreme abortion initiative. There will hopefully come a time when we can play offense, when we can get to the point where we can, by working with our neighbors, with our friends, coworkers, within our churches, we can get to the point where the culture of Nebraska changes such that a pro-life amendment like the Choose Life Now amendment would have even a chance of passing. Hopefully someday we'll get there. So, bottom line, Choose Life Now amendment is a wonderful biblical thing. The reason I'm not supporting it for the ballot is because I don't think it has any chance of passing in Nebraska. And in fact, I think it has a chance of allowing the Protect Our Rights amendment to pass and Nebraska to become a state where abortion is legal in our Constitution for all 9 months of pregnancy. I want to avoid that at all costs. I hope this has been helpful to you to kind of talk this through. It's kind of a longer podcast. Write us at eaglesonthehill211@gmail.com. Let us know if this has been helpful to you to think through all these things together. I believe that Christians, again, can disagree, particularly with these Second and Third Amendments. And there's going to be good Christians, like the two in the video I played, who are great Christians, I'm sure, and really want to protect life and who want that third petition, third amendment on the ballot. We each need to use our godly wisdom in this. That's just the way it is. Let me know your godly wisdom as you listen to this at eaglesonthehill211@gmail.com. Remember that those who hope in the Lord will fly on wings like eagles. Thanks for joining us today on the podcast.